You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And hey, welcome back. On the Ides of March, we have David Hale in the studio. I don't know.
I don't know what Ides are either. So,
but hopefully you've been searched. Caesar should have had that happen many years ago. Welcome to the middle of the week, the tournament underway as far as the first four. We have a couple of headlines, and then we got a lot to talk about with our very special guest in studio. Yeah. What's it like to be an official in the final moments of a huge game? It's like, let's see if I can screw this up, because that's usually what happens. We'll talk about it a little bit later on with a person who has talked to some of the biggest officials and the biggest moments in college sports history. If you're an Auburn fan, look away, look away. Charles Barkley has picked the Tide to win it all, and he gave a very painful roll Tide in a recent conversation. Diamonds are not a sports fan's best friends. Diamond is the owner of RCNs for 40-plus teams. They filed for bankruptcy. What does it mean in terms of the future of sports on television? We'll talk to one of the leading experts in the world on that. And David Hale is here. And what does the future of realignment look like in college football? There's a lot of chatter about that on even today. David, thanks for joining us. David, of course, joins us many times throughout the year from...
But you've removed the restraining order. I was allowed to see you in person this time.
No,
I appreciate that.
We just found out today you live not far from here. So we didn't know anyone lived not far from here.
Availability is the most important ability, as they
and,
say.
And, you know, being a full-time employee of ESPN, we could get you for nothing.
Yes, exactly. I'm cheap and I'm available. Can't argue with that.
We didn't have to deal with any agent to find out whether Roman Harper could come back.
I'm the
for
Baker
another.
Mayfield of ESPN.
You
I'm
are.
Cheap and available.
So what's going on in the world of alignment?
Well, look, I mean, I think it's no secret that the Pac-12 is desperately looking for a way to get any sort of TV deal that is financially reasonable in front of them. The Big 12 is looking for any way to build on what they already have, which is not a lot. And then you've got the ACC that we've talked about before, the rumblings and the push and pull about revenue distribution and what is the future financial mode. To me, you look at those three leagues, I don't want to say it's moving deck chairs around on the Titanic, but it's a little bit of that. I mean, these are three schools that are on the outside looking in. They're on the wrong side of the financial divide right now. And so everybody is sort of desperately clinging to any potential way of fixing this. And frankly, I don't know that anybody's got an idea of how to do it. They're just looking for the next possible answer, whether it's rethinking revenue distribution in the ACC or looking at potential streaming partners in the Pac-12 or the Big 12 saying like, hey, good Pac-12 teams, come over here with us. Like, they're all sort of grasping at straws, right?
And listen, I understand why they have to stay in business, although frankly, I wonder why they're really considered on the same level or in the same circle with the Big Ten and the SEC, because they're really not any longer. Let's talk about the Pac-12 first. I mean, they seem to be the most of the desperados. They are the most desperate. What are their moves?
I don't know that there's a lot of good ones. I think there's – so what you need to – the point you need to start from is the fact that television is driving a big portion of all of these conversations and debates. And not only does the Pac-12 have a problem in that it's not really in big TV markets by and large, it's mostly being played on the West Coast.
It was.
So you're not – yes, right. So you're not getting the East Coast viewership as much with some of your late games. And – They don't have exactly marquee teams right now. I mean, it's one thing people say, like, well, Alabama's not in a big TV market, but for college football ratings purposes, it is. And they don't have that. So it is this sort of conglomeration of the worst of all things as they're trying to formulate a new TV deal. And look, I think give George Kliavkoff some credit. I think he's trying to be outside the box in how he's approaching this. And frankly, I think one of the things that's really overlooked in all of the realignment conversations that we've had over the last few years is, yes, a lot is shifting within college sports and college football, but a lot is shifting within television and media and how people consume that. All of those things are happening at the same time, and the long-term effect is, like, we don't really know exactly how everything's going to look in 5 years. And Brent and George Kliavkoff, I think, smartly is trying to say, like, well, let's not just worry about can we get enough paychecks in today, but let's think about how we might be in a better place 5 years from now. Again, I don't know that there actually is a good answer to that, but I think he's looking at it the right way.
Okay, so that's the Pac-12. We'll go ahead and put a fork in them. the Big 12, Brett Yormark is the new commissioner. He comes from the entertainment world. He seems like he's made a couple of good moves, but...
Well, look, I think they win to some extent in the fact that they took the four best possible options that were out there and got them ahead of where anybody else. I mean, the ACC has looked at expanding, at least kicked the tires on who they might talk to, who might move the needle a little bit. Certainly the Pac-12 needs to be thinking about that. Well, the Big 12 got ahead of the game and they got their four best options. I think they got four teams that are four schools that at least can bring something to the table competitively and in terms of fan base and alumni engagement. So now you're sort of looking at what's left over. And if you're the Big 12, I think it is smart to look, they're number four right now, probably out of the Power Five, so to speak, but they're acting a little bit like the tough big guy in the room. And I think that's smart too. Like, why not set yourself up to be a safe landing spot for anybody who is looking for a safe landing spot?
David Hellwether. David, you spent a lot of time living in ACC country. I don't want to marry you to that league right now. I wouldn't do that to you, frankly. I think too much of you. But you know the lay of the land there. And let's back up for a second. I know you alluded to this the last time you were here, but a lot of people are old enough to remember, at least if you're 20 or above, when the ACC was really a major player. I know they've won a couple of titles in football. They have won titles in basketball, but collectively right now, how did they get into the mess they're in?
Yeah, I think it's a number of factors. It's sort of one of those things that, like, you get to the end of the story and you start realizing, like, all the pieces were there all along. It's like, Kevin Spacey and at the end of Usual Suspects. I mean, I think you could go all the way back to when they got Florida State without getting Penn State back in the early 90s. I think you can look at the way that they looked at expansion in the early 2000s and look, great, you get Virginia Tech and you get Miami. Just as those programs were sort of turning, I mean, Virginia Tech had a little bit more of a run. Miami really hasn't been who we thought they were going to be afterwards, and that's bad luck.
Those are bad buys.
And then, you know, you look at when the money really started to change on the TV side in college football was also the absolute nadir of ACC football. I mean, you look from like 2005 to 2013 when Florida State won it all. I mean, it was a brutal run of bad football being played in the ACC where Florida State was down. Clemson wasn't what it would become. Miami was down. Virginia Tech was just sort of they were always on the periphery, but never great. And then you look at the 2013 and 14 editions. And I mean, look, Pittsburgh is a great football town and Pittsburgh has a good invested fan base, but it's not Alabama. It's not Auburn. It's not Georgia. And then you look Syracuse, Louisville. I mean, some of these schools just are not anything that's going to move the needle. And then you look at the makeup of the league in general. And I think one of the biggest problems that the league has is, as we talked about, revenue distribution, is you've got probably three or four different groups of schools with much different philosophies and priorities. You get to the SEC, and yeah, Vandy's maybe not like Alabama, but they're happy to play along because they haven't had to make any tough choices. In the ACC, you have a lot of people starting from a different point having to make tough choices, and it's a really difficult web to try to work your way through.
There is constant speculation that this school or that school would potentially leave the ACC. We had the commissioner on the other day from Nashville. He said, we're happy being a 16-school super conference. I'm sure, you know, if it was easy, he would consider. But it's not easy, and I know you talk about this a lot. But is it next to impossible for anyone to break out of there outside of mortgaging their entire life and then a few more as well?
Yeah, I mean, look. So there's one of the things that we should preface this, and you kind of alluded to here, as I've talked to some ADs who, you know, certainly would at least kick the tires and say, like, well, we got to do our due diligence. You've got to have an invitation from somebody before if you don't have somewhere to go, and really that somewhere, as you noted, is just two places, the Big Ten or the SEC, before it's even worth trying to see what else you can do to get out of where you're already at. Then you have the grant of rights, which is for the ACC running through 2036. Could you challenge that? Yeah, of course you can go to court on it. But there's a big difference between filing a court case and winning that court case. And the whole thing was designed in part by the ACC and John Swofford, by the actual teams in the ACC who didn't want to see the league break apart, partially by ESPN, who was involved in having the media rights to this, to say, we don't want you to leave. Like, this is designed to keep you from doing that. So I think there could be some issues down the road where they essentially say, like, it's leave or die, and that forces people's hands. But at this point, I don't think it's a road anybody's excited about going down, because there is absolutely no guarantee of a light at the other end of the tunnel.
And the recent shatter out of Tallahassee, was that just, I wouldn't even call it saber rattling, because that means you may be doing something. I mean, what was that all about other than just complaining?
Yeah, I think there's two parts to it. One is just a level of frustration. Is I think there's certainly, if you're Clemson and Florida State, I think Miami, North Carolina, maybe Virginia in that conversation as well, of saying, like, look, we got to do something, right? Sitting here and maintaining the status quo is not a viable solution. And the timeline isn't, well, we got to get it figured out by 2036. The timeline is we got to figure it out by 2026. And not everybody else is moving on that timeline. So there's a level of frustration about the heel dragging on any sort of conversations about how to move the needle. I don't know that anybody's providing a good answer on how to move that needle. Then the other thing is sort of laying some groundwork that says, like, look, if we do have to challenge the grant of rights in 2 to 3 years, we tried, right? We told you, this is fair warning. You knew it was coming. And I think there's a little bit of that too. So it is sort of, I think, some PR. I think it's a little bit of playing to their own fan base. And I think it's expressing some frustration that I know a few of the schools definitively have with the lack of urgency within the league on trying to address some of these revenue problems.
David Hale with us, senior college writer for ESPN. We'll look ahead. I realize it's March. We all know we haven't forgotten the tournament. And we'll get to that and talk about what some of the events of yesterday as well that we had for you late in the show. But we are coming back, and Wes Rucker will help us get ready for Tennessee's involvement in the NCAA basketball tournament as well as spring ball. And we mentioned Brendan Quinn a little bit later on. John Oran, the leading voice in sports television in America for the SBJ. He'll join us as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back, David Hale with us, senior college writer for ESPN. We talked a little bit about alignment, and in this segment, we would like to look ahead. The football season, spring is popping up. We just got through here on the SEC Network watching the Georgia Spring, not the Georgia Spring game, but the Georgia Pro Day. It's all the same.
It's all the same, right? Yeah.
What do you look for with starting with Georgia at the top of the heap?
Look, to me, this is fascinating because I don't see any reason why they shouldn't come into the season as the preseason number one as the team to beat. They belong there. But we don't see three-peats. That does not happen. No. And I mean, you know, I think it's really underappreciated just how hard that climb is. It's hard to do the first time. It's real hard to do the second time. Once everybody on the roster has essentially got a ring and they're wearing a ring, it's sort of like, what are we doing all this for again? Because it's not about just the 15 Saturdays it takes to get there. It's about the other 350 days out of the year that you got to be preparing to win at that level. And I remember talking to a former Clemson linebacker, Ben Bulware, who's one of those guys who just tell you anything. And after they won, or no, they went to the national championship, lost to Bama in 15, and trying to go back in 16, he's like, the hardest thing to do was to get up every day and remember that you have to put in every bit as much work as you did and then a little bit more because you didn't win it last year, but we've already tasted it. And it's just so hard to keep that motivation up year after year when you've already done it. So I know we'll talk about the quarterback situation. We'll talk about replacing the guys on defense. I think you still got Brock Bowers, whoever you put in there at quarterback, is going to be in a good position. I think it's all about motivation with Georgia. How many days can you get up out of that 365 and have it be your best day?
And based on the first couple of months of this year, it hasn't really gone well.
that's the thing too. You know, when it's sort of like when you win in the NFL and you win a Super Bowl, and then everybody comes after your assistants and comes after your free agents. It's sort of like the focus is now on you, and that means on the field and off the field, and that means you are carrying a different weight with you every single day because everybody's paying attention to you in a way that they didn't before. So,
the good news for Kirby Smart. He's been part of a run at a three-peat before as an assistant. He saw the difficulty of it. In 2013, Alabama was the prohibitive favorite to win three in a row, and they made it to 1 second left in the last regular season
game. I remember that one somehow.
And really, they shouldn't have waited because the time had expired, and they decided to put a second back on the clock.
That's the Auburn way of life there.
The Georgia schedule could not be any easier.
And look, this is the joys of still having divisions for at least one more year in the SEC, and having Georgia Tech as a permanent rival. Again, this all shapes up well. Obviously, everybody is going to point to that at Tennessee at the end of the year. We'll see. Is Joe Milton, you plug and play there? Is this going to be? I think Tennessee can be pretty darn good too. Tennessee is a team that still wants something, that feels like they left something on the table last year. Georgia knows what they can do. Do they want it as much? I think this is going to be as much about off the field as on the field on Saturdays for Georgia this
season. It's so weird to ask about, you know, can Alabama catch Georgia?
Right? And isn't it funny, like, how many of these conversations have been like, well, Kirby's kind of past. I'd rather have Kirby than Nick Saban, right? Like, since when? Right? Right? These last two years, we're looking at a very small sample size here.
But Saban's age, he overcame that a couple of years ago so well. He's struggling right now to overcome that because everything that doesn't go well for him, it becomes, well, nobody's ever done it at this age.
Right. And you know, the other thing, too, is, I mean, Saban has always been the guy who's been the guy. I mean, he's not the CEO type. He's not the guy who's handing off everything to someone else, mostly because that someone else has been a rotating carousel over and over and over again. That's hard enough for any coach to manage. And he's now replacing both coordinators. He's replacing a quarterback who was as valuable as any quarterback in the country, I would argue, the last few years. And I think more and more of this falls on Saban this year. I mean, this is as much, I think, this season, a referendum on Nick Saban and where he is in his career right now as any year has been in a while there, probably since the last, the 2017 when he pulls Jalen Hurts at halftime. That's the last time I feel like it was as much about Saban as it is right now. Because, again, he went out on a limb to make these coordinator hires a little bit that were not necessarily the most popular ones. He's got to find his next quarterback, a thing that he knew he had a year runway to do, and he's going in where, again, for the first time in a long time, they are not at the top of the SEC.
It's so interesting too what I hear fans talking about in relation to his assistants. Tommy Rees, he's proven to a point being at Notre Dame, but you know, you compare Tommy Rees to some of the other coordinators. You've got Brian Daboll out there, a former Saban assistant, Kiffin, Sarkisian, even McElwain. He didn't do well as a head coach at Florida, but he's still highly regarded. And Tommy Rees is not in that realm. And the convenient line about Kevin Steele, oh, Nick Saban, Kevin Steele, they're like the odd couple. They've been together so many times. But it's worth remembering that Nick Saban replaced Kevin Steele after 1 year with Kirby Smart. Kevin Steele then went to Clemson, got run. After how many would he give up? 70?
72 of it. Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about that around the Carolinas anymore.
Then he comes back as a position. I mean, so it's been 16 years since Nick Saban had hired Kevin Steele as his right-hand man. This is a different state. So I don't know if that means anything or not. Kevin Steele is certainly accomplished. But Nick Saban made a pretty good move in 2008 when he put Kirby Smart in that position.
Well, and that's – look, I think you can talk all you want about where has Alabama fallen off a little bit, and I'm sure you can point to any number of things. Certainly receiver last year was a question mark. But and I think the game has changed a little bit, too, around it. But this is not – the last few years been the same defense that we were used to seeing from the Kirby Smart era Alabama defenses. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm not pointing at a coach and saying it's this guy, and I'm not pointing at Saban and saying it's that guy. But it has not been the same sort of killer mentality. And even when you have a guy who I think is unquestionably the best defender in college football and Will Anderson, you saw how teams could scheme around him at times last year. So, you know, look, I think Kevin Steele's an accomplished defensive coordinator. If I'm putting money down, I always will put my money with Saban. I think Kevin Steele can do a good job. I like the upside with Tommy Rees on offense. I love that his history of working with younger quarterbacks and developing them, getting the most out of them, I think that works well for them this year. But, you know, it's sort of like the other thing with Tommy Rees. It's like, where have we seen him outside of Notre Dame? We don't know. We don't know what to expect because we've only seen him really in this one small box.
Before you go, you've spent a lot of time in recent years covering Clemson. I have to keep reminding myself that they're still relevant. Are they?
I think they are. And I think actually one of the things that if you were to give Dabo some truth serum, he'd say he loves that people are asking that question because much like sort of the Nick Saban's now second fiddle in the SEC, and I don't think that's such a great move for everybody else, putting Dabo as the second fiddle in the ACC and all the hype that Florida State is getting, some of it deserved, some of it I think way ahead of itself. Boy, that's the role that Dabo and Clemson would love to be in. They want to work in the shadows. They want to be punching up. They want you to believe that they're still little old Clemson with no chance to win at all. Cade Klubnik has a lot of talent, and getting Garrett Riley in there to try to maximize that talent I think is huge. They need some young receivers to develop around them. They need that defense to be much more dominant than they were last year. It's funny, I was putting together a segment for ACC Network on Clemson's defense yesterday, and they had their worst season in points per drive, yards per play, sack rate since 2012. Yet all of those things last year were still top 25 in the nation. So there's a different standard for Clemson's defense, and they haven't met that standard last year. They need to get back to being a top 5 defense, top 3 defense. And if they do that, I think they're still the class of the ACC.
Yeah, so I'm taking from you as we wrap this up, you are simply not buying not the hype, the massive amounts of hype that Norvell is getting at FSU.
I think some of it is very much deserved, and the job he has done in changing just the culture of that program, which was in a terrible place since the day really before Jimbo left, frankly, he's done a great job in rebuilding that. But I think they topped out. I think they topped out.
SEC Network, we're not allowed to speak ill of Jimbo.
Jimbo, he left in a great place, then Willie Taggart came in and ruined everything.
He left in a great place, and he's got a great situation again.
Probably, that's the team we should have been talking about this whole time, Paul.
It's so funny that a year ago, that's all we were talking about. Give it up for Jimbo, though. He's following the Dabo card. Nobody's giving him any credit anymore.
But look, outside of Dion in Colorado, is there any program that you'd rather like have a camera just following around everything that's happening in the football operations building than Texas A&M? I don't know if it's going to be a complete train wreck or good. I know where I'd probably put my money, but it's going to be interesting.
I was talking to some people in Nashville about A&M, and they're saying so far everything has gone great with Bobby Petrino.
And everyone knows no Bobby Petrino story ends on a bad note.
Bobby Petrino always has good springs. Well, I take it back. He had a bad April a couple years ago.
David, so that's great. The Ides of March right there.
Yeah, that was the post. It's so good to see you. Thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
We love having you. David Hale joining us. We have a lot to do. We'll get to your phone calls in a moment. Much to do on our program.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Chris Beard introduced in Oxford among questions about his past, most recently at the University of Texas, and we were wondering what he would deal with. And remember Blake Topmeyer on the show earlier in the week, we asked Blake what he would ask Chris Beard if he had the opportunity, and he had the opportunity last night in Oxford.
Hey, Chris. Wanted to ask you specifically about the night of the arrest. Police documented that your fiance said that night that you stood behind her and placed your arm on her throat. Did that happen? Did you place your arm or your hands on her throat that night?
Yeah, so very respectively, Randy and I, you know, have agreed not to talk about the details of not only that night, but kind of the nights that we went through this, the process. But what I can tell you is much of what was reported was not accurate, and that's been proven with the case not only being dismissed, charges dropped, but also Randy's statement on December 23rd. So I think that statement spoke for itself. It's factual. But I respect the question, and I understand the question.
Chris Beard, last night. John is up next.
I'm still laughing at that response. Sorry, Paul. But I'll get to Beard in a minute. Can I call you Mr. Incarnate now?
Well, I think he used the word incarnate, but I thought it was always incarnate, didn't you?
It is incarnate, but well, can I refer to you by your first name,
Devil?
I mean,
if you're going to call me the Devil Incarnate, pronounce it correctly, okay?
I know. So we'll call you the Devil. I can ask how the hell you're doing today, right?
It's things are hot down here.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my gosh. Jim had a great meltdown. It was epic yesterday. First, he had Squirrel deliver some cheap shots from behind his dress there, and then he couldn't help himself. He had to call you and use Jeff's megaphone and just go full posto on you. I mean, it was. I'll be honest, quite entertaining. And, you know, Jim's like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. You'll get the sapien or the satanic or the crazy, but it was truly entertaining. And before I forget, love your first guest. He writes
fun.
The greatest
like
articles. Not just brilliant and expertise, but that sense of levity that helps bring it along. Paul, I'm going to be out of country for 10 days. I've got a wedding in Guam, so we're doing Hawaii and Japan as well. So
oh, cool.
How can I pull up the bracket while I'm out of town? I don't have Twitter.
You're going Hawaii, Guam, Japan, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let me see if we can talk to Armed Forces Radio, and maybe they can get us on in Guam. We still own Guam, don't we?
Yeah, we have Anderson Air Force Base there. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we got you covered. I'm sure Guam gets the SEC network.
Yeah, I know. Well, I get you through Sirius Radio, but I want to pull up the bracket and see how it's moving along. And
we'll figure it out.
And Mitch is my first contestant, right?
Yeah, I believe you and Mitch are. And Mitch has done some, who did Mitch? Oh, Mitch took some, did you hear the Mitch call yesterday?
You know, I heard just a little of it,
he went full postal on you.
Well, I'll be honest, I have a soft spot for Mitch and Matt. You know, they have unique challenges and special needs. I know he comes across somewhat morose and whiny and complaining, but I think he's got a big heart behind there. And frankly, I hope he wins.
Just for the record, I was not laughing at you saying that they both have special needs. I was laughing because a raccoon walked into the studio.
Okay. And, you know, I hope he wins because I think that would definitely build up his self-esteem and lower his misery index. So, and you know, let's be honest, if I won, what am I going to do? I'm a black hat. I'm going to go up against a legend.
Yeah.
I would be like his NASCAR teammate. I would block for him, let him draft behind me. And, you know, so it is what it is. But I like Mitch. Mitch or Matt, they're both the same. Hey, Paul, I thought on the Chris Beard introduction, Blake just blasted him with that question, by the way, and the answer was like a politician.
By the way, I do want to give a hat tip to Blake Topmeyer, and we heard most of the press conference, and I felt like at least to Beard, there may have been a good question or two. I think Michael Katz asked Keith Carter a question, but to Beard, it was the most piercing, relevant question. And give Blake credit for asking the question that every single person wanted to hear asked.
And let's, you know, Paul, let's give some credit to the University of Texas for sticking to their code of conduct and zero tolerance policy when they had a number one team and a number one coach.
Exactly.
I think they deserve some credit.
They do deserve credit.
Well, that's it. I'll see you in 10 days.
Appreciate it. You be well. You take care of yourself. Matt is up next, who just got
called
out by John from
Louisville. Hey, brother. Thank you for the call, man. But I want to say something to Augie for talking about football. Look, Augie, I'm sorry, man. What happened to you? My heart goes out to you, brother. Louisiana, brother. Look, I hope it gets better for you and your wife. I'm sorry that happened. If I knew what happened with you, man, I would try to reach out. But I don't got your address. I don't know where you live in. Louisiana, I only got your number, man. But you're going to talk. Paul, you can give him my number. You can give me his number.
Yeah, well,
and I just hope things get better for you, man. I really do. And I just want to know, what do you want to see at A&M in spring football games? What do you want to see at A&M this year? And you think we go far in a tournament?
I just want to see I want to see what this new offense looks like, Matt. And I think I have a very good feeling it's going to look a lot better. Logan is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Logan.
Hi, Paul. Or should I address you as Satan? It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, thank you. I feel like I'm cooling off it talking to you, Logan.
Yeah, I know, right? So I was going to talk a little bit about conference realignment. I was listening to your first guest, and I just wanted to get your opinion on this, Paul. How long is the Pac-12 going to last? I don't see it lasting throughout the year. I know they have they need to get some kind of media coverage. Are they going to the streaming route? Because I can't see any major network paying any amount of money to broadcast Pac-12 football games.
Well, I can't see any network paying a lot of money, but you're right. I think they're in dire straits.
Right. And for the Chris Beard, I think we might have got another suspect coach in the SEC. he is a little more articulate than Hugh Freeze, so I'll give him that much. But that was pretty shocking that the guy asked him that question, and he basically answered it with a politician answer. So
yeah, you know, I don't know about you, but it would have been nice to have heard some acknowledgement of what, not specifically, but I think being a public figure or having gone through a domestic violence allegation, I think a lot of people were looking for something more than pablum.
Yeah, I'm surprised Ole Miss didn't come up with some kind of prepared statement, because they had to have known someone was going to ask him that question. I would say the
likelihood of that question being asked, Logan, was 100%.
That's what I'm saying. I don't get the PR people. You really got to question some of these folks that work PR for some of these major universities.
You do, and I've made a vow not to talk about what I saw last night.
Okay, fair enough, Paul. Well, I got one more thing I was going to ask you. I know it's really early, but who do you see as the starting quarterback for Bama next year, based on what you've seen so far for the two guys? Probably
Ty Simpson, Logan. Thanks for the call. Up against a break. More to come. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, welcome back. Ralph is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
We are doing great.
I got two questions in one for you. What do you think about McNeese State hiring Will Wade Monday and then turning around Tuesday and suspending him for the first 5 games of next basketball season?
I think it just speaks to how absurd the whole thing is.
Okay. It was different to suspending for those five games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, some people. The Will Wade case has not even been adjudicated yet, and McNeese State got a lot of publicity, and they know the territory.
Yes.
They know he understands the territory, which I get all that, but. I mean, I don't really think, Ralph, we should be surprised anymore about what universities do when it comes to hiring coaches with dubious reputations and poor conduct. There's one every day. So Will Wade just fits in perfectly. AC is up next in Canada. Hello, AC.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Mr. Feinbaum. Your regular callers, they take this for granted. They call the fiction. They think this is easy. I feel the blessing take my call. When your team takes my call, it's a blessing for me. I never take anything for granted. And Jim from Tuscaloosa, to call you a devil, that's disgrace. Disgrace. Here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. Jim is going to come back to your station within 2 weeks. I just want to play my game safely. 2 weeks. Chihuahua always come back to his owner, Mr. Feinbaum. That Chihuahua is going to come back. And if you think about it, how about that colors bracket? I'm cheering for Cat Daddy because he's an animal and I like cats. But if you wish to take off Jim from Tuscaloosa from that bracket contest, if you want to, that's all I have for you. I love you as always, unlike Jim from Tuscaloosa. You're just an idiot. Paul.
Dennis is up next in Kentucky. Good afternoon, Dennis.
Well, Paul, I'm just proud to be part of the chum before the feeders come out in the last hour.
Well, thank you.
Hey, I a few weeks ago when Legend called up, he said Alabama is a new Kentucky, and you all laughed about it, and I was laughing along with you. But you know what? He had a point. You couldn't argue with him the way Kentucky was playing. And then Kentucky started winning some games, and then, well, we know what they've done now. So, Legend, I'm going to be pulling for Alabama with you, buddy, for the championship. I hope they get it, because I've got a feeling when they have the SEC tournament from now on, it's, instead of being called Cat Vegas, it's going to be Bamaville. And, Paul, I was wondering if Hugh is making out a new eulogy for John Calipari, or if he's going to use the one that he had originally wrote, because I honestly don't see us getting past the first round Friday. What do you think?
Oh, I've got that one on file just in case. Hey, thank you for the call. Christian is up next. Hello, Christian.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I really have two questions for you, and I'll hang up and listen because I know you got a busy show ahead. The first thing is, based on how the season has gone, and we knew they would be good, but it kind of came out of nowhere how good they were going to be. Is it a disappointment if Alabama doesn't go all the way this year? And then also, outside of Alabama, what SEC team has the most pressure on them to make a run in this tournament, and why is that? Thank you.
Well, I think Kentucky is a school that always has pressure on them because of the past and the present. I mean, this Kentucky team, while it was teetering 8 weeks ago about not making the tournament, started out as a preseason number four. Now, I know as soon as I say that, some of you will say the number one preseason team in the country didn't even make the tournament. That's correct. But Kentucky always has pressure. I don't feel like it would be a disappointment if Alabama doesn't win. I think when if they get to the Final Four, which the school's never gotten, people will feel pretty good about that. Wes Rucker on Tennessee coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.